Well, Happy New Year. 2015, eh? Just think about it. 15 years ago, we were buying generators. Anyways, greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon text for this second Sunday of Christmas. I had to look which one it was. I keep wanting to jump to Epiphany. That's next week. Second Sunday of Christmas will be taken from the Gospel of John, one of my favorite books of the Gospels. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. And if you are able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 18, continuing in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Please be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. This text is often right at New Year's, and it's an awesome text for that. We turn around in our lives, and many times, at least many different individuals, will make these New Year's resolutions, and I know we hear about it every year. After a few years of doing this, I decided to make one resolution that I could keep, and that's not to make any that I could keep. In other words, I never make them anymore because I failed every single time. And you might think that's crazy, but seriously, I've gone to the point of actually writing them all down. And I put them on my closet door. When I open my closet and get my clothes out, I see the list right there. And I've made these lists. I put them on the refrigerator, you know, like Amway would teach you to do. If you, you know, believe it, you can achieve it, you know. But the fact of it is, I've done these things, and I still have a tendency to fail. The funny part is that God, He in reality knows what we're made of. He understands our frailties and our difficulties, and He continues to give us something that we need. And it is grace. And that's what this book speaks so strongly of. I love the Gospel of John. It has such powerful, powerful stories within it. It has accounts of Jesus Christ that are just mind-boggling. You turn around and you even have the understanding in chapter 9 of the man that was born blind. We see that he's cured, that he's able to see, and he himself is awestruck by this. But the fact of it is, that man did nothing. That man was just obedient to what Jesus had told him to do, and that was it. The funny part is that the religious leaders couldn't believe it because it didn't fit within their system. It didn't fit within their understanding. And even at the end of that account, Jesus comes to him and says, Do you believe in the Son of God? He says, Who is he that I might believe? And Jesus says, it is I. Jesus reveals himself to that individual when religious society was done with him. They cast him out. Jesus reveals himself to him when he in reality can truly see, where his eyes are open. And Jesus did that great work. See, Christendom is about Jesus Christ in our behalf. It's not about what I can do or how I can act or what I can perform in. And it's about time that I realize this. So you open up this text, and it is a very powerful way of opening this text. It says, in the beginning, from the very beginning of all things, was the Word. And I love how it talks in this fashion. It says, and that Word was with God, but not only that, that Word was God. God is the Creator, the author of all things. God is the Supreme One. God is the One that has controlled everything from the beginning of time. He is the beginning of time. And yet He didn't dispose of us. There's a lot of individuals that would make us believe that we aren't worth anything. And then unless we do the right steps, we're going to be lost. But the fact of it is, we were lost, and we were continually lost, and God desired not to leave us in that state. He came looking for you, and for me, and for the rest of creation. He came to redeem, to give, and to strengthen. He came to uplift and encourage. Too many times we bring out a message of doom, where if you don't get it just right, you're done. You're toast. Let me tell you something. When you start a new year, I want you to think about this. If God wanted to get you for that, whatever your deed may be, He would have got you a long time ago. He doesn't need to wait until 2000 or 2015. He doesn't need to wait for 2012. God has desired to have restoration for you and for me with Him. And He has desired it from the very beginning. And it says that in the beginning, this Word was continuous. And it says, now this same was in the beginning with God. And He turns around bringing this point, speaking very boldly of Jesus Christ. See, we often get all caught up when we see, as we've spoken many times, of this Christmas scene with an infant child and all this other stuff. And that is beautiful because that is the incarnation, no doubt about it. And it's something that, yes, we should highly favor. But the fact of it is He has been present from the very beginning of all things. God has seen you. God has had a desire for restoration with you and with me since the beginning of all things. You have always been on His heart. See, we turn around and we hope in this life to win people over, don't we? We hope to find the one whom we'll love and spend the rest of our life with. We hope to win them over with romance and candy and flowers and wooing them. Maybe even just showing kindness. It's like one has said before, many times in our life when we want to win the one that we desire, we spend all our time to impress them, and once we get them, we depress them. That's often what we do as human beings. But God has desired us. He desired us so much, each and every one of us. He has given us life. Have you ever considered that? Whether you know Him or not, He has given you life. And this is the greatest thing for us to understand. That was the first desire that we can see, the fact that we are alive. But then in the fact that we have come to this earth in this fallen nature because of the fall of the human being, God didn't desire to leave us in that state. He desired to restore us. So not only did He give us life, but He also gave us restoration through giving up His life. He traded places. But the fact of it is, it speaks that all things in reality were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the author and the creator. This is what it speaks about. Do you know Him in that form? Do we turn around in our lives and we say, I'd really like to know God better? Can we hear the words of Christ Himself? And He says, have I been this long with you and you don't know me? Just show us the Father. Just show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Have I been with you this long, and you haven't seen me, is what Christ asks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God is revealing Himself to you each and every day through the mercy that He gives to your life, through the grace and the merit that He gives to you in the form of Christ. Now, are there struggles and are there difficulties? Have you gone through some struggles in 2014? I know you have. You may have received some great blessings, no doubt about it, but you have also gone through some great struggles. But let me ask you, are you still here? Yes. Have you endured the trials? Have you continued on? Yes. How do you do that? By the hope that God has given you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing escapes His notice. He was with you from the very beginning. He has created all things. He says, in Him was life, and this life is the light of men. This is the spark. And it's an interesting thing. We turn around in our day and age and we try to mimic this. We try to create this, and we cannot do it. Yes, we can find scientists with their little tubes and things like that can duplicate it. But they cannot spark it. They cannot start it. And it even says, very straightforward, that God Himself breathed life into this race. He gave it. He is the unction. Now remember, now the Word is the life and the light of men. And what do we even teach, even on our Sunday school kids? That even this Scripture, this Word, is a light to our path, that we would continue in this pathway, that we'd be encouraged. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we read it? Do we get involved? I'm not asking you to be some great religious guy. I'm not asking you to be a theologian. I'm asking, in reality, by faith, do we get up at times and do we read the Scripture? Do we ponder on it? Do we allow it to encourage us? Oh man, I get on Facebook, dude. I'm all over that. Get me Facebook and I'm Googling away on things, looking up things, doing all kinds of things. I'm taking on all kinds of stuff, ain't I? What about this? I'm not questioning anybody and trying to put anybody on the spot, but how often do we look at this? I fail. As a pastor of your congregation, I fail in comparison to many people that read this Word. And I have an advantage. I come to a church every day to work. I probably have 300 Bibles in this building that I could read. There's probably not a room in this building that I can go to that doesn't have a Bible in it. And if I'm willing to admit that I fail, and also be encouraged that I need to read it, will we also admit? And will we also be encouraged? Be encouraged to take even 5 minutes a day and read a few verses. Father, what are the answers to life? They're found right here. Because He created everything, and without Him was nothing created. In fact, He is the light that gives forth life in this world. He says, and you know what? This light, this Christ, is so powerful and so mighty. It says in verse 5, He says that the light shines in the darkness. And it says, the darkness comprehendeth it not. We don't know what this means often in King James. See, we get all on our haunches at times and we say, this is the only Scripture that we should read. I seen a truck the other day that says, the King James is the only Bible, or something like that. Really? I suppose you should have really talked to the Jews and also to the Greeks back in the day. Told them, where's your King Jimmy? I have great respect for it. I think it's beautiful. I think it's very poetic. But what does this mean? The light came into the darkness. It shined into the darkness. And it said the darkness couldn't comprehend it. So what does that mean? Often we go to places like, well, it just didn't understand it. It really just didn't get it. That's not what it means. It's a more powerful statement than that we lose in translation. Really what this says is that the light shined. It came breaking through the darkness, and the darkness had no power. It could not overtake that light. And this is Jesus Christ in our lives. This is Jesus Christ in our life, giving us light. In other words, now being founded in Him, that now darkness cannot overrule, that we are a light even in this world. Isn't that what Jesus tells us too? Doesn't He tell us that we don't take those candles and put a bushel over them? We don't cover them with a basket? Because we want the light to be shown. We see the white candle in the center represents Christ. Are we going to cover that up? It wouldn't make any sense. It says light came into this world and it shined into the darkness of this world, and that darkness, the evil present, could not overtake it, could not control it, could not take it away. No matter what it threw at it. This is our God. He came into a world that didn't understand, didn't know, couldn't comprehend. He didn't fit into their system. But yet it did not deter His work. Salvation. He says, then there was this man. He was sent from God, whose name was John. And we understand John the Baptizer. He says he came forth to bear witness. To bear witness actually of this light, who is Christ. He came to point. He came to bear witness. He came to say, behold, look at that white candle. Most people in this room will look when I point. That's what John did. John wasn't that light. He didn't stand up there and say, look at me. I'm what it's all about. That's nothing. He bare witness of that light, pointing to the importance of it, pointing to Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God, that what? Takes the sin of the world away. This is our God. He loves you so much that He came and He took your place upon that cross. The emblem of suffering and shame, the emblem of difficulty and struggle, of pain and persecution. Your God took that upon Himself so that we can live in victory. Don't even tell me that we're not loved. We are loved beyond measure. It says that John was bearing witness of this light. And he says, now, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. I believe very strongly that all... And that's why I believe the loss of life, and we will mourn that. There will be those, and we will mourn that, because we understand that all life is given forth by Him. He has breathed it into the race. He has given it to us, and He continues to provide for it. And so it says very straightforward. He says, now, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world, it knew Him not. It didn't understand Him. And we understand it by the ministry of Jesus, don't we? By the ministry of Jesus, we see that He had many adversaries. He had many difficulties. He had many struggles because He did not fit the norm for the system. And we find that in our day and age to this day, that when someone goes against the norm of the man, of the human being, and their religious ideas, people don't understand. But there is a truth now where then there is something that we are to go with, that we are to guide ourselves with. And that is this scripture, this word. And that's why it's so important that we ask the question, do we read it? We're not asking now that we just throw out everything and say we live how we feel, because we know our feelings can deceive us. But we live as Christians according to that light, the Word of God that was in the beginning and continues to this day. We live in that light. And we live according to what it speaks to us. Doesn't matter what human beings say. We don't like to hear that either. I've had conversations in reality with people over different struggles and different things that are going on in our nation. And we turn around and we say, well, the government has passed this rule or this rule, saying now this is acceptable, this is acceptable. And it doesn't matter what it is. I truly don't care what the government says. The government can say whatever it wants becomes legal. If it's against the Word of God, it's still against the Word of God. And that's where I stand. I'm not putting my hope and trust in what this government can do for me, what this government can provide for me, and I'm not letting this government dictate to me what is scriptural and what isn't. It is the Word of God that I am governed by. And so we stand up in this day and age and we say, oh, but now it's acceptable because the government has said it is. Really? Wonderful. Then you go ahead and you live that way. And I'm not saying any judgment calls. I'm not trying to come out and say, now because a certain individual is acting this way, that it's going to, you know, damn them forever. That's not what I'm speaking about. But we lose sight of the fact that God knows what is good for us. See, we lose sight of that. We're so proud of our independence as human beings, and we lose sight of that light, the Word of God, that we live independently. In other words, we could take off all the other agendas that people think about, and we could turn around and say, you know what? What is the benefit of the law? Well, we understand in the Old Testament there was a lot of law that was given, wasn't there? And it was even given for the way they should eat and what they should do, how they should live their life. Why was that law given? Not only to keep them sanctified or to keep them pure, keep them holy, however you want to say it, so they don't become contaminated, but actually, very logically, it was given for their own welfare, their own health, that they would eat the correct things, that they wouldn't become contaminated or poisoned or sick. God gave these things because not that they could be made pure and holy by keeping them themselves, because they couldn't do that, but he gave them even for their own benefit. Why do we forget that? There are laws. There are things that God has told us not to do, to honor mother and father. Let me ask you, if you fight with your mom and dad all the time, how is your life going? Is it peace? Are you excited to see them at a struggle? And you actually murder someone, how is your life? Is it full of peace? You might even get caught and go to prison. Is that wonderful for you? How about stealing? Do you like being controlled by the theft? Do you like the feeling of knowing that you've diswronged somebody, you've taken something that doesn't belong to you? See, these are the things that we forget. God does this so that we could have a joyful life, and he gives us, in reality, instructions. Not that we would be saved by them, but rather that they would be good for us. Even when we turn around, we look at the common things. Do you think that drunkards have a great life? Would you really want to be a drunk? I remember talking to a good friend of mine, and I'm not going against drinking. It's biblical. You can do it in moderation. Whether people like it or not, take it away. Show me in the scripture where you can't. But the fact of it is, living a life as a drunk, do you think it's easy? I had a friend that decided he was going to disappear from life. He said, I was going to become a drunk so that I didn't have to deal with anything anymore. He said, and you know what I found out? It's a lot of work. It's a taskmaster. God knows what is good for us, and he wants us to have joyful and successful lives. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to live victoriously in this world. It's not about the law so that we can somehow earn our salvation. That has been done through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But he gives us this word that we would be encouraged in this life and that we would live modestly. That we would be encouraged living to glorify him. All things in moderation. So you turn around and you look at what he says here. He says, now, he was in this world, but they didn't understand him. He was against their system. He says, he came to his own and they didn't receive him. They didn't receive him. They didn't understand him. It says, but as many did receive him, to them he gave them the power to be the sons of God, even to those that believed in his name by faith. See, and this is the ultimate thing. God doesn't call us forth to be religious people. He's not calling us forth to say, we're going to start changing our life because it's the new year. We're going to make all these great things and promises, and we're going to change our life. Therefore, we will be Christians. He says, have you seen my son? As John says, behold the Lamb who takes your sin and my sin away.
see Him and be changed. As John says, even in his own words, He must increase that I decrease. It's not a New Year's resolution where I will decrease so He can increase. There's a big difference. We are Christians. Therefore, we do the good works. Therefore, we live in moderation. Therefore, we read the Word. Therefore, we get involved. Because we first are believers in Jesus Christ. And He has given us goodness. And He has taught us how to live. He has encouraged us. He says, but as many as received Him, to Him He gave them, He gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them which are believe in His name. And then He goes very straightforward after the text here. He says, for which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He speaks very straightforward to faith here. In other words, He's saying, not according to what nationality you are, by blood. He says, or the will of the flesh, by some great undertaking that you did, some great sacrifice, some great suffering. It's not what you did. He says, or the will of man. And I think even in this we can say, it's not even by whose boy you are. Because that's what we like. I see you in church, God's peace, we shake hands. Oh, he's a Christian. Why? Well, you know whose boy that is? Oh, man. Good thing I don't go on those standards. I'd be in trouble, hey? Oh. But the fact of it is, I say that because my dad left the church many years ago, and we went through a lot of fun times on the East Coast with that. But my dad is, he is a born-again believer and very strong in his faith, probably stronger than I am. But the fact of it is, he said, the Word was made flesh and He dwelt among us. But before we go there, I want to talk about something, and I don't care if I go over my time limit. The fact of it is, it says, but as many received Him, to him them He gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in His name. And I want to look for 1 second at 1 John, and I love this part of Scripture. 1 John chapter 3. It goes in this fashion. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be just like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is the promise of God. He says, you know what? This is how much we've been loved. God has poured out upon us His love in the fact of making us His children. His children. You are the child of a king, we teach our children in Sunday school. And He promises us this. He says, you are His children. He says, we don't even understand how perfect we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Because we're always looking at people after the flesh, even though Paul tells us not to. We still do it. We gauge people according to where they go or what they do. We do all these things. But the fact of it is that it doesn't even appear to us what we truly are. We don't even get it. We look in this glass darkly, as the Scripture would say. He said, but this is what I'm promising you. When He comes, the perfect one, the Messiah, we will be just like Him. Because He has traded places with us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the New Year's celebration. That we are the children of God by faith. And in this faith, we are pure, righteous, and holy, whether anyone likes it or not. We stand before God, before the throne of God, boldly, as the Scripture says, that we can come to it boldly, not by our own doing, not by our own works, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do we know it? Do we teach it to our children? Do we encourage others that in the times of their stumbling, in the times of their frailty, that they would look to the Messiah and know their perfectness? He says, very straightforward. He says, this Word, Jesus, came in the flesh. We dwelt among Him. We saw His glory, His might, His power, His significance. He says, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says, John bare witness of Him, crying, saying, this is who exactly I was talking about. He that comes after me, but actually was preferred before me. He says, He was before me. He says, in the fullness, in His fullness, in Jesus' fullness, in His perfectness. I want you to hear this last one of the last verses, because it's so important. He says, and of His fullness we have received grace upon grace. This is awesome. This is a hallelujah moment. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. Because this says, really in the Greek context, immeasurable grace. I want to limit it. As a human being in my fallen flesh, I have a tendency to want to limit this. To limit it. But God says very straightforward. John is sharing with us very straightforward. In the perfectness, in the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have received immeasurable grace. Grace upon grace. We get stingy with grace. We think people are going to take advantage of the grace. Guess what? I do. I take advantage of the gracefulness of God because I am a fallen human being. And God knew that. And it says very straightforward in the scripture, in times of our ignorance, He winks at, but calls everyone, everywhere, to repent and to believe this gospel message, to turn back. Don't even tell me that your children don't take advantage of your grace. If they don't, they're amazing. I took advantage of my mother's grace, I know that, and my father's grace, and they still love me. There's times that our children will do something and they know they shouldn't do it, but mom and dad, they'll forgive me. And we do. Why do we? Because we love them. Do you know in this new year, your God loves you in spite of yourself? But He has better things for you. He has better ways for you. And He has called you to live above the influences of this world, above the influences of everything else, and to see His Son. The persecuted, the crucified, the punished, the bloody, the suffering Lamb of God. But He doesn't leave you there. He calls you to see Him, and He also calls you to see the resurrected Christ, the one that has been sprung from the grave, that lives and lives boldly. Even with the markings of His wounds, He lives boldly for each and every one of you. And He calls us to see it that we may live. That we would live in the resurrected Christ. That we would be encouraged because He has given us this immeasurable grace. He says, you want to know the truth? The law came through Moses, didn't it? Yes, it did. And what did the law do? How many people did the law save? None. Paul himself says very plainly, in the law I was blameless. He says that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the law I was blameless. He said, but I count it all as dung, manure, compared to the excellency in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. In this new year, may we not make resolutions to change our lives on our own, but we make a resolution just to take 5 minutes a day to be encouraged by the only word that will change our lives. God's Word. A light to a world. To a world that's full of darkness. But that darkness will never overtake this. Because He has spoken. And when God speaks, things happen. We are blessed. Take your new year. Be assured. Be confident. Come to the throne of grace boldly. And stand firm for what He has spoken. Because His words are excellency. And His love is never ending. And His grace is immeasurable. For He loves us. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to hear Your Word, to receive the message that You have given us, immeasurable grace. Can't take that out of Scripture, Father. It's there. Penned by Your Spirit. We pray that You would encourage us and strengthen us in and through this, that we would not see it as a hope, but rather a promise. We pray that You'd be with each and every one in the upcoming year, that You would allow us to look to You for all strength and guidance, and that we'd bring You honor and glory. Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.